be filled with the Holy Spirit. Belgic Confession, Article 11. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus, if you enter certain churches, the brothers there might ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? What they do mean by this question is, do you speak in tongues? But speaking in tongues is not evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you that in two ways. First of all, speaking in tongues was speaking in a known language like Greek or Persian or Arabic. People who speak in tongues today are speaking nothing but gibberish. Speaking in tongues was a temporary, miraculous gift to help the spread of the gospel quickly. And the brothers today may sincerely think that they're speaking a different language, but they're not. No one understands what they're saying. So even if their thesis were true that speaking in tongues was evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't meet the condition of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't speak in different languages miraculously. But there's a second reason they're wrong. The temporary gift of speaking in different languages is gone. 1 Corinthians 13 spoke of the fact that tongues will cease. So speaking in tongues cannot be used as evidence of being filled with the Spirit, since, according to the Bible, speaking in tongues has ceased. And if you want to learn more about that, ask me. I'll give you some notes to look over. Now, what then does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? That's the language of the Scriptures. Today, we want to dig into this a little more and see the real meaning of that expression, be filled with the Spirit. Our headings are two: what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And second, what are the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Our goals are that you will understand you must be filled with the Spirit of God, first. Second, that you will learn how to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then third, that you will use the gift of being filled with the Spirit of God for the good of man and for the glory of God. Let's read together Belgic Confession, Article 11. Let's begin. We believe and confess also that the Holy Spirit from eternity proceeds from the Father and the Son, and therefore neither is made, created, nor begotten, but only proceeds from both, who in order is the third person of the Holy Trinity, of one and the same essence, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son, and therefore is the true and eternal God, as the Holy Scriptures teach us. So, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? All Christians have the Holy Spirit of God at conversion. It's the Holy Spirit who moves you to repent of your sins and to trust in Jesus Christ. It is He who works faith in you. None can become a Christian unless the Spirit of God draws him and lives in him. Look at the Scriptures now. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Together, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the Holy Spirit must be in you, filling you. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. He seals you, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and secures you to the end of the earth. You saw this also last week. But what about being baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is it the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit? And the answer is no. Baptism with the Holy Spirit only occurred at Pentecost and shortly after. It is the initial coming of the Holy Spirit in a special power to unite the Jewish and the Gentile churches and to equip those churches with many special gifts, some of them temporary, making them bold for service and giving them words to speak. And one of these temporary gifts was speaking in tongues. Remember, the Bible was not completed yet, so they needed words to speak, and that's how the Holy Spirit helped them to learn a different language and have the right words to speak before they had the completed Bible. And by the way, new beginnings are always marked by special things. When you have a birthday, you have a cake. Maybe other times you will have a cake, but you don't have a cake any day and stick candles on it and make it into a celebration. But for birthdays, there's something special that takes place, or anniversaries or weddings. And that's what we find here, is something remarkable happening. And that's why you have all of these miracles taking place at that time as well. During the time of Moses, during the time of Elijah, and during the times of Jesus, those three that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's when the miracles took place in the Bible. Very few took place outside of those three times, because they mark three significant times in the history of redemption. So being baptized with the Holy Spirit was a unique thing to have happened at that time. Being filled with the Holy Spirit was normal for every Christian. Number three, it is a command to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not an option. And that, if you ever want to look at a text that forms a basis of understanding our relationship with the Holy Spirit, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's read it together. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, it means to be soaked with the Spirit. You let him take over your mind, as opposed to being drunk or soaked in liquor. You're soaked with the Spirit of God. You don't let alcohol take over your mind, or anything else for that matter. You let the Holy Spirit take over you. You're filled with him, and he directs every part of your life. That's what God wants. That's what God expects. That's what God commands. Now, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, it means you have to greatly empty yourself. So what your desires are, you have to get rid of and let the Holy Spirit fill you, right? You can't fill something that is full. And that's what it means to be emptied of yourself, your self-love, and all those things that take over your life. You get rid of what you want and let the Holy Spirit fill you more and more. And that's the battle that takes place that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans. There's this fight that goes on between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And the more you are dying to yourself, the more the Holy Spirit will fill your life. Being filled with the Spirit is therefore a state of living. It's how you live. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 52. Together. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You see the difference? When he is there, there's joy. The more you let him guide your life, you learn that living for God is such a blessing. But there are other examples. And one of them is from Exodus chapter 35, the Lord specially blessed someone with the gift to make some elements, some things for the elements of worship. Let's read verse 30 and 31 of Exodus 35 together. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and of all manner of workmanship. You notice here, Bezalel was not given the gift of speaking in tongues. But he was used mightily by God, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. All he spoke then, probably Hebrew back then, and yet he was filled with the Spirit of God, doing the work of God. But there are times when you rob yourself of the blessings of the Holy Spirit, as David did in Psalm 51. He did not allow God to control him in all areas of his life. David allowed his desires to control him. He had a good amount of his own lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life were warned against. And he took another man's wife and killed that man. This is why he cried out when the Holy Spirit was not controlling his life at that time. Look at what he said in Psalm 51, verse 11. Together, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit didn't want to be a part of that filth, of his lust, of his adultery, of his murder, of his covering up his sin, not confessing. So the Holy Spirit was leaving him. More of him was rising, and the Holy Spirit had no space there. He was filled with himself. When you don't let the Holy Spirit control your life, you grieve him, and he leaves. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, together, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you're not filled with him. He becomes less. So then we come to our second point. What are the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? What are the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? One, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will constantly confess your sins to the Lord, like David did in Psalm 51. God's Holy Spirit is diametrically opposed to sin. So you will be emptying yourself of your sin so he could fill you with justice and truth and mercy. You saw in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. So what will you do then? You will search out those tiny, dirty places and clean them out to make room for the Holy Spirit of God to live. Whatever lust controls you. And everyone's got some of those, maybe not a big area. Most of us will not go about murdering people or blaspheme God's name in public. But there's that little area of lust. Lack of self-control. Of selfishness. Of bitterness, gossip. And you need to clean out those areas so the Holy Spirit of God will fill those areas. Even those secret sins that you love so much, you will have to clean them out. God's Holy Spirit does not have any agreement with idols. He doesn't say, well, I'll make an arrangement. I'll take 95%. You can keep your 5%. Remember the word of God. You shall have no other gods before my face. Second evidence. First, you confess your sin. Second, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will constantly and boldly confront sin in your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Look at some examples. Remember Nathan? Just as Nathan confronted David when he sinned, even though none of his advisors would confront him, they let sin remain. They let him stay that way. But Nathan was willing to confront David in his sin. And just like the story, the emperor has no clothes. None of the king's advisors would tell him that he had no clothes on until a child did. That's how God expects us to speak the truth. That's part of being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, someone say, well, I'm just going to live and let live. They don't understand what it's like to be filled with the Spirit of God. We will live and we will help. We will challenge others. The Apostle Paul, he confronted the priests one time. Look at his example in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Let's read together. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now, you have to be respectful and when you challenge people, but you have to challenge people who are living properly. Now, wonder those people who run around speaking in tongues and pretend that they've got the Spirit of God, they're filled with the Spirit of God, how willing are they to speak up, to challenge what they see in society, to challenge the people around when they live poor lives? My own experience, having been raised there, is not much of that taking place. There's not the willingness to stand up, because making friends and having big crowds in church become more important than challenging sin. Remember what John the Baptist did as well? He gave up his personal desires and he lived as an outcast, eating locusts and wild honey in order to confront sins in men. And then he confronted sins in religious leaders. He called them a few names, identifying exactly who they were, and he even confronted King Herod, for which he was killed. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 15 together. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Did he speak in tongues? No. But was he filled with the Spirit of God? Yes, he had to be to confront sin in the life of other people. The Apostle Peter was like that as well, who, being in this glorious state of being filled with the Spirit, he preached faithfully, defending the truth, and was willing to face death to announce God's gospel. And in fact, he's reputed to have been killed upside down, not finding it worthy to be killed in the way the Lord Jesus was killed. Look at what he said. Look at the way he spoke in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 together. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He didn't start with some gibberish. He started off with rulers of the people and of Israel in their language so they could understand. I mean, what good would it do you if you're speaking to someone something, you want to confront them, but you're speaking in language they can't understand? But this is not just an New Testament thing. We've already seen with Bezalel, but also with Micah. Look at what Micah did long before Peter in Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Together. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. You see what being filled with the Spirit of God does? That's evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. And since you know that the one who's filled with the eternal Spirit of God is strong, you will always have the Holy Spirit to make you strong. You will not want to put off your power from time to time. You will want him to dwell in you richly and fully. Then three. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will let the Holy Spirit nourish you. How are you going to get bold to confess, confront others and to confess your own sin? You need to be nourished by the truth of God. The more you know how much Jesus loves you, when you know his holiness, what he has done and who he is, you will begin to confess your sins. You will see how serious sins are. And when you see your brother sin, you won't hide away. You'll want to confront him. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11 now, together. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You want to be nourished? You will have to depend upon the Spirit of God. But if the Spirit of God is in you, look at the change it makes. Instead of the trees, instead of being this dried up branch that is fit for nothing more than being cast into the fire, like Jesus said, you will be trees that are filled with sap. I was talking to Marianne a couple of days ago, and she was talking about the maple sap. She said, I've never seen anything flow like this before. They're boiling down. They can make their maple syrup. It can do something. Trees can grow and bloom, do well. That's how you should be. When you are nourished, you have blessings to share with others. You have the fruit of the Spirit that then grow in your life, that others can be blessed. And you will learn to love and to have joy and peace and show goodness and kindness. Psalm 104, 16 and John 15 speak of this kind of nourishment. We are in Christ. We are nourished by him. And we're strong. Number four, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will become an issuer of life. As you are nourished, you grow. Before becoming a Christian, man's life is a cesspool. But the Holy Spirit makes a radical change. And radical comes from the word radix, Latin word meaning root. Man is changed from his root. And then you will show that you believe in Jesus Christ as a testimony to others. People will see that in your life, and they will be drawn to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. And more than that, you will lead others who do not believe in Jesus Christ. They will learn of him and be saved. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 now. Together, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, given in the sense of the fullness of his coming, but the Holy Spirit, of course, was in us, is in everyone. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. And what flows from us will be waters of life. You know, that's what people need. There are a lot of thirsty people in this world. Now, a lot of people act like they're not thirsty, that they're very satisfied with what they have, but they need the gospel from you. And maybe you can't preach to them, or maybe you can support those who preach the gospel. Maybe you can pray for those who preach the gospel. But it's also very easy to give someone a tract or a Bible or a sermon to listen to. That's what God expects from us. That's how you become an issuer of life. You're speaking of Jesus Christ. The world desperately needs him, and you have him. There's a fifth evidence. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will live like you don't belong to yourself, but to God. Selfishness will die, because you know you belong to Jesus, and you'll want to live that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Together, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The temple of God is holy. Your life must reflect the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you and that you belong to him. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. together? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You glorify God by the way you think. You glorify God by the way you talk. Think about that. What did your co-workers hear this past week in the way you spoke? Did you reflect the Holy Spirit of God in you? What about your actions? Do you live like you are an issuer of life and that you live that people can see the Holy Spirit in you? That you belong to someone else and you're not acting the way the world works? You know, when someone cuts you off on the highway, what's your immediate response? When someone says something mean to you, maybe at your workplace, or maybe your husband or wife, or maybe your children, what's the natural response? You belong to God. His Holy Spirit is in you. Holy Spirit. Do you shame him by the way you act? Now, when Solomon had built the temple, God showed his glory in Solomon's temple. The cloud came. No glory went to Solomon. Oh, he did a lot of work, but he was used by God, and he was just responding to what God had given to him. And Solomon didn't want any of the glory either. When God is present, everyone takes second place. Let's conclude. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so you can progress in your Christian life, and so that you can fulfill your God-given responsibilities. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so you can reach the lost for Jesus Christ. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so you can be brave and confront sin in your life and in the life of your brothers. There's no requirement that you speak gibberish if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Rather, you are to live in a state of faithful service to the Lord internally and externally. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I contend that the reason the church in North America is not progressing like it should, it's because men and women, boys and girls, are not filled with the Spirit of God, really filled. Yes, we may have better preachers than before. Yes, we may have comfortable church buildings. Yes, we have better musical instruments. Yes, we have more hymn books, better technology, easier travel, simpler Bibles, so many blessings. But the church still is not numerically and spiritually growing. And why is that? It's because the lives of Christians have not been emptied of themselves to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work his will in all areas of your life. There is not enough reflection of Christ in your lives. There's not enough faithful action to stimulate growth. The vitality of the church is lacking. Please pray today that God will open your eyes to see the worms in your life, those sins that you keep as pets, and that he would cause you to turn them out, empty them, so that you would be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And if you are not a Christian, learn that those who do not have the Spirit of God in them have no hope of eternal life, which is your greatest need. If you call upon God for help because you have seen your need for help on account of your sins, God will send you help through his Holy Spirit and his Word to save you and to guide you. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words again. Sometimes we don't like the stinging rebukes that come from it, but we know your word is always good for our souls. Lord, help us to see the need for being filled with the Spirit, and help us to see how we must empty ourselves of our own self-will so that we are filled with the Spirit of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.